Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue, right over there in the heart of the Grove. Hey, come out this Friday, and every Friday there's an all-new music happy hour going on. This Friday, new vinyl in store from Modest Mouse, Steeler's Wheel, Nonpoint, Bad Bad Not Good, Lightning Hopkins, Car Seat Headrest, Whitechapel, Switchfoot, Dead Can Dance, and much, much more. Full listings online, and you can come out and get 10% off any purchase, free four hands beer for those of age, and live vinyl spinning in store. So it's going to be a good party each and every Friday. Keep an eye out for live in stores on the weekends, and you can always shop 24/7 on musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
We're Hollow Point, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Swing.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out with the guys of Hollow Point. Welcome to the show, guys.
What's up?
Thanks for having us.
This is exciting. I'm excited to meet you guys and hang out and talk some music and stuff. So before we get going, we probably ought to everybody say hi and introduce yourselves. So everybody knows your voice at home.
Yeah, I'm Tony Milson, vocalist for Hollow Point.
I'm Aaron Chambers, I'm lead guitarist for Hollow Point.
Brandon Bullinger, bass.
Bill Brenda, guitar.
Preston Seymour, drums.
Right. Yeah, I know I've seen the name around town a lot, being involved in the scene and stuff, but I could have seen you guys, like, and I have this like kind of a running story with some friend. Like I had these guys on a while back, and I was like talking about this show that I went to see, mm-hmm. and I couldn't think of that fourth band, and they're all like, "Oh, we were that fourth band on that bill," and like, you know, it was just kind of weird, like how like 3 years ago I saw these guys and like didn't realize it and something, and then like now we're like good friends and everything else, and it's just kind of weird how it all comes full circle, and I end up mm-hmm. becoming buddies with these guys, and I really like the music. But at the time, like I don't know if I missed the set or whatever happened, but I was at a show that they played on and things, and it was just kind of funny. But so I'm excited though to get to hang out today, though.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah. So I guess I like to do a little background kind of stuff. So when's this band get formed? Where does that all start at?
It's back all the way to 2009. Like, Preston, myself, and Billy all went to grade school together, and we've been friends since kindergarten. And, you know, I started picking up playing bass because my brother played guitar. Preston started playing drums probably like 6th grade, 7th grade.
Yeah.
Like, right after he started playing piano. And then Billy, we kind of got him into heavier music. And he got, I left my Highway to Hell CD at the pool that we were hanging out at, and then ever since he listened to that, he was like in love with music. Yeah. Wanted a guitar all the time. Finally got it, and then he met Aaron Chambers in high school, and he always played guitar. Probably what? How long has that been?
I started when I was like 12, so I guess this year's like 12 years. But yeah, Billy and I met. We hung out. We ended up taking our junior guitar class together, and we pretty much like music teacher was trying to teach us like all kinds of like read music and everything, and him and I would just go over and like jam Metallica in the corner.
Right.
So, but we did that, and then ended up.
You were bugging the hell out of Billy.
Yeah, I bugged the hell out of him.
Because I didn't really play bass that much anymore. Yeah. And but you're like, dude, let's just get together one time. So, Christmas vacation, we're all just like, all right, let's do it. So, it was like January 2009. the four of us got together and we played covers for.
I think it was like Inner Sandman was the first one.
First one was
it?
It
went well.
It did go well. We all felt really comfortable. We played TBC a few times at their auditorium. The talent show, I said that with air quotes.
I heard that enough times.
And Billy did vocals for Metallica and Megadeth, and I did a few Slayer. And then we tried out a few other people on vocals when we started writing our own music, and it didn't match well with us. So then I started learning how to scream, and I was playing bass and doing vocals. Long story short, I dropped the bass to be a frontman, and you see Brandon come along.
Yeah, I'm late to the freight.
He is high point. He's been just as valuable as everybody else in the band. He's made a hell of a contribution. He's only been in here since like September of October last year, so not even here yet.
It's been a short run, but it's been awesome.
We
played a lot of cool shows together.
The first show we played with you was at a wrestling
event. Yeah,
and like this nobody liked metal, so we played before the matches and stuff, and this old lady is like plugging her ears, and she's like, "What are you guys done?"
She's like,
we're just like, "Brandon's
make
gonna
it
hate
stop.
Us now."
Yeah,
she's like, "Make it stop." We're like, "Oh my god!"
You guys kept making it a point, like, "Oh yeah, don't worry, this is what we normally do."
I swear to God, I was like, "We're quit. Yeah, this is different. This is different." But we've actually played. Back when the four of us were playing, we played at a library too, and there was just like grandmas and young children. God. And again, we were playing Metallica and Slayer, and all the people were just like, "What is this?
That's better than Lamb of God, though."
Yeah, right. But still, you're playing in front of those kinds of people that are not used to it,
right.
And so unfamiliar with it. But that's kind of the long story.
How we all
five of us got together.
Yeah, who thought that was a good idea, the library one? That sounds like
that was parents. We saw a flyer for, I think it was Webster Groves, or my mom's friend told her about it. And, you know, she was just like, "Well, my son's in a band, you know, they should probably go up here for a talent show and see what they can do." And we got there and there was like no bands. It was more like just like a bunch of like, there was like an Asian girl with a violin, and there was a couple other people with like single instruments, like it's talent.
Sure.
Yeah. And nobody was setting up for like band work. It was just like all like we were setting our instruments up with a bunch of like bookshelves and like couches and stuff.
Literally
the center of the library.
And the funny thing is like Billy couldn't hear himself at all.
At all.
Because there was no monitors, there were just PAs blaring out. And he went in like falsetto mode because he couldn't hear himself. So he was singing "Blackened" by Metallica, and it was like beyond falsetto. Like, so we love having to drop falsetto. We love giving him shit for that still because it's such
that's
a funny
on video
memory.
Too.
It is on video.
We don't watch
video.
That video.
That's in the vault.
Yeah, you didn't show me that.
There's not a reason why we were going to release that.
There wasn't a librarian that would. The whole time, like, are you playing? I keep picturing it though. It just sounds hilariously awesome.
It was. Hindsight, it was. Yes.
in
the moment, it was like, oh my god, what are we doing?
Yeah, that's that moment of shame. Just like, I don't want to play anymore.
Yeah.
I got this friend Matt. He's more of a country singer, and he went out for this talent show thing they did, and like, but it was like all like turns out like. It was like a lot of kids, like, you know, what are 10-year-olds and stuff, and like, you know, he's twice their age or more or whatever, and you know, it's just like and he like won the thing, but it like it was just like kind of a weird thing, like, you know, you beat a bunch of little kids.
Yeah. That sounds like an episode of like Parks and Rec,
right.
Like Johnny Karate.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt became Johnny Karate.
Yeah. But it's just like you sign up because you think like, all right, well, I'll give it a shot, and then like, you're just kind of not as advertised or not, you know, not what you thought it was going to be. But,
right.
You kind of picture like that little stint or hint of glamour, like, right. Oh yeah, this is my shot. I get to perform.
It's like that
you
get there. Song or
that
Eminem song. You got one shot.
You got one shot, and you're getting all ready for it, and you're happy, and you get there, you know.
And then it's just
weird.
But it's still like that, you know. When we book shows, we have no idea how it's going to be.
Sure.
Like, so our show Tuesday with Nonpoint. We have no idea how many people are going to be there. We have people coming up to us and saying, "No, dude, we love that band." We're like, "Oh, wow,
yeah."
We didn't know, so we were expecting a pretty big show. But
yeah, I mean, I think they'll definitely draw. I think the only thing is it was kind of a late booking.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I don't know. Sometimes those they've Bob. I've seen them even posting about it, so hopefully people.
They've been active hard with social media. Yeah. They've done a really good job.
But some of those you never know, like just because people like it's hard to get the word out there sometimes on that short notice, and some people are like, yeah, what have been? I just had no idea about it. But.
Yeah, and there was confusion about the date on this show too, because they started with one date, and then they said it got canceled, then they reinstated that date.
And then everyone was like, is this show real?
Is this happening or not? And Nonpoint was actually commenting back saying, yes, somebody, this is going to happen.
Somebody commented and was like,
right around the time when everybody was putting those fake Facebook events up.
I wish that was Drake. I would have totally gone.
Drake at the Drake. Chicago.
Cisco at, like, Macaroni Grill.
Those were great. I wish they didn't stop.
3,000 people going.
People probably calling those places.
Well, I think they, I think that was the case. I think there was some RFT or whatever. Somebody shared a thing that, like, for Ted Drews or whatever, they were like, this is not, you know, Vanilla Ice is not playing here or whatever.
There was one that I saw. It was Rammstein at Olive Garden. Yep. People were legitimately calling the Olive Garden in Kansas, requesting, like tickets. What are you talking about? So they had to, like, shut that event down.
There was another thing I saw that was, like, shared around. It was, like, one of them was, like, Limp Bizkit in a gas station parking lot or something like that. I think this was more of a spoof thing, but it was, like, pictures of these, like, Limp Bizkit fans, like, you know, they showed up to the show thinking it was, like, or something like that. It was pretty funny that, like, just kind of goofing on. Especially,
I think it would have been awesome if one of the bands actually did go to, a random spot and nobody was there, and then they're like, see, we actually played. Right. Yeah, it was a real event.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah. So Tuesday, July 12th, you can see Hollow Point with Nonpoint at the Firebird. You also local support from 650 Winnebago and Flatfoot Reed. So you guys selling tickets or just on the...
Yes, we are. We've been pushing it. Billy and Preston have been selling a lot for us. So
reach out if you need a ticket, or I'm sure... online too, or at the door maybe even. But
if you have interest, we'll be there right before the show.
We kind of talked off mic, but you guys, you got this one, and then you've been sharing the stage with a lot of big acts and stuff besides Nonpoint stuff. You guys said you went to Kansas City a little bit ago.
Played the Rock Fest there with Disturbed, Trivium, Seven Dust, Ghost. Just to name a few. That was a surreal moment for all of us because we've never played to that many people. We've never played with those bands and those caliber of bands before. And that whole day was awesome.
Never played an outdoor festival.
An outdoor festival as well. That's always been like a dream for all of us.
Definitely.
I'm sure.
There were a lot of firsts, and it was just
everything.
The weather was perfect.
We were nervous because at first it was like, it's supposed to be the hottest day of the year, and then it said it was supposed to rain a bunch, and we're just like, well, I guess we'll see. And then it ended up being perfect because we were able to sell tank tops and hoodies. So it was that kind of
day. Yeah,
that's
pretty awesome.
Well, everybody got sunburnt now.
Billy's really good at that. he could probably get sunburned from that light indoors.
He's going to be burnt by the end of the podcast.
You want to switch me seats?
That's awesome, man. I know I keep an eye on a lot of the festivals and things and shows around town and, like, just... they always seem to throw a hell of a party up there for Rock Fest, and I just haven't been able to make one myself yet. But I know there are a lot of crossover with Point Fest and stuff, obviously with them, you know, traveling through town. But seem to throw a pretty good party up there.
I think 98.9 up there, the station, did a phenomenal job. Aaron and I went to college up at Rockers in Kansas City, and that's how we kind of found out about the station. And they do a great job as far as, you know, mainstream. Then they also, at night, every night they do The Pit, which is just metal. And they play anything from Devil Driver to, Lamb of God, just your more metal bands. You're usually not going to hear on the radio.
Yeah,
they're very good about
that. They do mandatory Metallica every day.
Yeah, so cool.
I think I kind of wish St. Louis would have something like that, more of a, like just a rock radio station, because The Point kind of does everything alternative. And then you have KSHE, which is, you know, the classic rock more stuff. So
right, and then you know Aaron was even driving in Indiana and was listening to Ghost on the radio, and it's just like you don't even hear that here, and it kind of. Hopefully some will.
Yeah. I mean, we got the Viper, but that's like it, you have to be in certain areas.
Yeah, we don't get it here.
Yeah, I mean, you think like you think that people would start taking notice because like you go like I mean I think didn't Ghost sell out the pageant or pretty close to it?
They've been playing that place a lot. They're coming back again for the third time upbeat.
But like you go to these metal shows or whatever, and there's you know there's a huge crowd for little radio support and stuff. Like, so
it's good to see.
Yeah,
what
I mean,
about
so
the Lamb of God? Didn't they sell out the pageant?
So, right.
Curious what bands like that could do if they were getting radio backing and
marketing. But yeah, I know, but like I said, those fans are dedicated. They're very supportive and stuff. So it's it's cool. So you guys, we do have a EP available. But you guys were talking about gearing up to write and record some new stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. We got a few songs in the works that we're we play a few live actually, and then we're writing a few more and. Like I said, looking at studios and producers out of town, and so we're looking to make a really big sounding EP, like something that we're gonna put time and money and effort into. So it's just taking a while, you know.
We're gonna do another EP too. Rather, we were talking about doing a full length, but we think at this point we're just gonna stick with doing like five songs and make sure those five songs are just as solid, solid as they possibly can be.
This conversation comes up a lot, obviously, just because we're all in the same boat, you know. But trying to figure out the best way to present music today, you know, like because we with you know so much on digital and stuff online, but like with people, people talk about putting out albums or EPs or singles or digital only or whatever, all kinds of different options. And but I think the EP is a good way to go. I think it's a nice, you get a nice collection of songs, and you can put out even if you wanted to, you could do two a year or whatever, or something like that, and like you can do multiple. You don't have to worry about trying to get focused on getting 12 songs or something together.
And some of those end up being like filler songs, for some bands at least. But at least. For us being a local band right now, we feel EP is the best route to go.
Positioning yourself as a local band, people's attention span is so short now.
Right.
And you want to hit hard with those five songs, because the six, seven songs, you might not play live if you don't switch up your set list or anything, and then they get lost in the mix. And then when you really could have gone back and maybe rewritten those, to a higher quality later on or something. So
We're kind of in like a single / EP world.
Right.
There's so much stuff to get nowadays. Like, people don't really do the full album.
You have to be constantly, putting something out there always. Hey, we're still here. And, it's kind of like an attention, grabber. But you don't have a choice at this point.
You don't really hear me people talk about albums as a whole. You know, people have playlists all the time. We have playlists all the time on Spotify and stuff, but... As an album, not many people are like hungry for albums as much anymore, which is a bummer.
Well, I think it depends on the band and on the genre and stuff. Yeah. I mean, there's the days of like Pink Floyd and stuff, where you're writing like a concept album like that. Those bands are very few in between. Yeah. A lot of people are just kind of writing those singles or EPs, like you're saying, like just here's a couple of songs that fit together well, and we don't have to worry about the album telling a story throughout the whole thing. I had these friends in Colombia, Decadent Nation, and they kind of did a thing that I thought was pretty cool, where they were doing like a single a month kind of, and then at the end of the year they put together, you could buy the get the physical form of the record and stuff. So
that's a clever idea.
So I thought that was pretty good, like where they kind of did it, put it out on iTunes and stuff, or so people could buy it throughout the year, and then obviously, you know, you have it all digitally by the end, or if you wanted to buy the physical copy, right. you could also do that. But
doing innovative stuff like that is
sure.
attention.
It's a way
I like when bands do that. Like when Parkway came out with Ire this past year, they put out what, 5 or 6 different songs, like, mm-hmm. and they're spaced out throughout the album. So once you got the album, you could listen to it all the way through, and you'd still have something familiar in there. But there'd also be those
yeah,
it'd songs.
Be like every other
yeah,
song.
Yeah, it's
be
like
a
every
song.
Other song on there is a new song, so it's still keeping your interest. And
yeah.
I like doing that style.
Yeah,
sure.
Because it'd be you listen to like one of the albums, and you knew the first 3 tracks, and then the last 7 or 8 would be like, oh, I don't know this, and then you kind of just everything just starts.
Yeah,
it gets cluttered,
lost in the mix.
Yeah,
awesome. Static.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's an inside
after
joke because it's a
after the burial.
After the burial song, we have to listen to that song because of the bass booster is ridiculous. So when we're in his truck going to an out of town show, we listen to that song and it's like the brown note.
It is.
It's like the bass booster of any bass
yeah.
booster
I've
ever.
I've cracked myself
a
couple times to that song.
You know, that's what that smell was in the past.
It was.
Yeah.
It
okay.
was.
Yeah.
I tried to hide it, but it didn't work.
He has like Febreze. You just.
So I mentioned the EP Veil of Reality. Right?
Yep.
Yes.
And available online and
pretty much
you guys
any media outlet.
Yeah.
I mean, we're on Spotify, iTunes, Bandcamp,
SoundCloud,
Google Play.
Yeah.
Google Play.
Very cool.
You can order the physical copy too if you want.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I was listening on the way down, and you got. I mean, sounded good. There's it's a little heavier than my taste. I like a lot of blues and, singer-songwriter, like, folk acoustic stuff and things, but, I mean, I can definitely appreciate it. Like, I like a lot of various music and things, just that's where my personal taste lands.
Yeah.
And but, yeah, I mean, you guys are a lot of the screaming and stuff, and it's fun. Like, there's a time and place for everything for me. Like I can definitely get in the mood and get rowdy in the
for
pit
sure,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
It's just whenever you know there's
takes a few beers.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, but who does the clean vocals?
I'm doing everything. I'm doing the screaming and singing.
Yeah.
But he's also in another band where he does all the singing.
Okay.
So it's also nice to have him as a guitar player. He's like a virtuoso guitar player, bass player, and sings. Yeah. And so we're going to try and incorporate his singing as well with mine and try to do mix and match, really.
Very cool.
Yeah.
We're still trying to figure out.
Yeah, we're trying to get our footing with that, but mainly just like do a little accenting of what he does,
yeah.
you know, background vocals and all that good stuff. So
yeah.
I think it's cool.
Sure.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been going well so far, and I think the more, obviously, the more we've been doing it, the better it's been getting, too. So
yeah.
Definitely.
That'd be interesting to see how that affects the, you know, the new recordings and stuff when you guys get to that point. And, but yeah. We mentioned a few, but like, who are some of the guys that you guys, really inspired you besides Metallica and stuff to get out and want to do this?
I think the bands that we started wanting us to make our, you know, getting influenced us to make our own music, for me at least, was like Lamb of God and Trivium. Once we started really digging into them, we're like, all right, let's start creating our own music kind of thing. So definitely them, As LA Dying.
Yes.
He's playing in the background right now.
Yes.
Killswitch Engage, Pantera, Double Driver. The week could go on for probably like days.
Yeah. Killswitch is one. I remember for me, like somebody, a buddy of mine introduced me to My Last Serenade, and like just the way that, like, you know, the mixing, the screaming, and the singing so well and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I really connected to that sound. And, like,
that new wave of American heavy metal, as they called it. That was what really inspired us.
Right.
Those bands,
like
for sure.
Metalcore, a lot of the metalcore bands.
Yeah. Older metalcore. Older, and I say that, so not even like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Like not even 15 years ago.
Well, it's quick, creeps up on you how fast all of it changes. And
It
really
is.
No, we were talking again off mic. I went to Wayback Point Fest, and like, you know, this is, a lot of these bands were like the 90s, and like it was just kind of weird to think about that already. Like, Moon came out, opened up the show, was doing like some cover stuff and like and tried to stay in character. Like there was like, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, it's 1995, guys, or stuff like that, and like and people are cheering and things, and you know, and
set
but,
the mood.
Yeah, but it was just fun. But and then he's like, how many people were even born, you know, in 94 or whatever? You know, there was some people that obviously were, you know, not even born then. So like it was just funny. Like to make you, for me, made me feel really old. Like, and I'm like, man, I remember, you know, this stuff.
Yeah, and then you remember, yeah, and you remember what you were doing, yeah, when you were listening to that kind of music.
Right,
too.
Sure.
You're like, wow, I was playing RuneScape when I was listening to Alien Ant Farm.
All right.
It's yeah, so you funny. Know, just something. It's just some lame thing that you did back in the day.
Sure.
Like, oh, how man, it's like now it's like man, it's cool to be 90s.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah,
it's
it like, is, right? That's like the thing.
We that's where we were born. Like, yeah, it's, sure. We're that old now. Yeah. You know?
Well, I'm 31. I just turned 31 this year, so I think I'm a little bit older than you guys, but yeah, just like I said, I remember those things, and it was just kind of it was just funny though, just to be out there and kind of in that right, surrounding and stuff like
nostalgia
that.
Nostalgia is a very powerful thing.
For sure, yeah. Yeah, it was fun.
Though. Was everybody like dressed like was they're doing the whole 90s?
Not
thing,
everyone. Like, that was in, that was another joke that Moon made, was like he said something like, he's like, how many of you guys dressed up in your 90s clothes? You know, and like he is, and like he goes, how many of you are still wearing your 90s clothes? You know, like, so like, I just wore this. What are you talking about?
You
so,
have the Jankos.
Yeah, yeah. There was like the audience didn't dress up as much as like some of the bands. Like definitely got involved and played with it and had fun. But you know, it's hard to tell sometimes when you go to a Point Fest crowd who, especially something like that, who dressed up and who didn't, because there's a
right,
there's
just
a lot
natural
of,
attire.
Yeah, there's a lot of
people,
various interesting looking people around there at yeah, those shows. Those are good people, yeah, people
I was,
watching.
I was thinking about like from the band's perspective, being asked to play that show, I would just think in my head, I'm like, man, we're that old?
Yeah.
We're going way back.
That's way back.
Yeah. I'm like, I guess we'll play it, but man, now yeah, thanks for making me feel like an old fart.
Yeah. Most bands on there, I don't think they were too, I don't know. They all seem to have fun with it, yeah, obviously. It's good. But like, I know listening to like Eve Six open up the main stage, and like I, you know, really haven't heard of those guys since they hit with you know, on the radio and stuff like mm-hmm, they, but they it was just kind of funny. Like they were playing and like they were saying stuff like you know, things like yeah, this song might sound like it's written by a 17-year-old guy. Because it was, you know, and it's like, you know, 17 years ago and yeah, so, like stuff like that. So it was just kind of it's just kind of crazy to think about, like that they're still singing these songs and yeah, that they wrote as you know, teenagers and stuff, and
thousands of times that they played this
right,
one song.
Yeah. That's been like the joke. Was that me and you, Tony, that were talking about how like the new Blink 182? It's like, oh, like they're old now. What do they sing about?
Yeah.
Social security.
Yeah, exactly.
Like they can't sing about breakups.
Because you can't sing about those things because you can't relate to them.
So. No.
They're like, what are the young kids into now?
MySpace.
Right.
Yeah, right? That's what we have to sing about.
Yeah, that is cool. Like, you know, Sum 41 just put out a new artist.
Yeah,
they did.
I did not even hear that.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
So,
and
check that out.
They're playing Warp Tour, man.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah. Same with All American Rejects.
Are they really?
Yeah. And yeah, like all those bands, and then of course Blink-182's coming right, with
they came out
Good Charlotte. I don't
Good Charlotte's
yeah,
back.
I think I'm jumbling up the two with All American Rejects.
Maybe.
Good Charlotte. I don't know. It's been so long.
Good Charlotte's on Warp Tour.
Yeah.
Good Charlotte's on Warp Tour, and then All American Rejects are with Blink 182. That's amazing.
There is a there's like a 90s stage of Warp Tour with like Real Big Fish and Sum 41 and like all these guys like
Real Big Fish.
I guess
every year.
Yeah. Well, I guess Sum 41 was probably like early 2000. That wasn't quite 90s, but
no,
yeah, like but
99.
Yeah.
2000.
But yeah, I forget who else is on there, but there's like a whole stage like of all these bands that like from when I was in high school and stuff. So I'm like, man, that would be fun just to go, you know,
yeah,
sing along with the Fat Lip and everything.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, I saw Real Big Fish a couple times recently. Once at the pageant with Less Than Jake, and then once they played at Ballpark Village, and it was a lot
yeah,
of fun.
Yeah,
so.
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah,
those were probably two big shows.
Sure, yeah, it was good. Like I'm a pretty big Real Big Fish fan. Like I just
There will always be that band that was on basketball.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I always will associate sure. them.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's a great thing to be associated with, the two guys that created Salt.
Yeah, Park. Right. Yeah.
And that's a great movie. And so is Mystery Men.
That's something we can agree on.
That's definitely one of those very quotable movies where I still use the lines, but like the stuff, you know, making fun of their buddy and all of that, like
Squeak.
Squeak. Yeah. He's like, man, that's a totally sweet bed. He's like, yeah, but your bed's over there. Like,
this little dog.
Yeah, so fucking weak, man. Like,
he goes, how am I supposed to get a chick with this? Dude, don't worry about it. You wouldn't get a chick with a $20 bill hanging out of your
I swear to God, you guys rip only 15 or 20 more times. I'm out of here. So, but yeah, man, it is kind of fun, like how. Something I really like is how music and movies, like, you know, the soundtracks, like how, like, I can hear a song and ultimately, like, play the whole movie over, you know, that whole scene over in my head and stuff, how, like, that all goes together for me. So
yeah,
like I always say, like, I'll never like hear Sweet Emotion without thinking of, like, Days of Confused, you know, stuff like, you know, it's just like you immediately go right back to that memory of that and stuff. So
that's probably one of the best soundtracks out of any movie.
Days and Confused. And that's like one of the, like, for that soundtrack, like, I mean, sure, it probably would have been a fine movie without, like, those songs, but, like, you had that soundtrack, and that movie goes from, like, you know, like a 6 to a, you know, a 9 or whatever, you know, like, it becomes such a much better film and stuff because of that. And, did you guys, ever imagine being in a movie at all? Like, would that be
that would be on my
like a horror flick, Rob Zombie somewhere in the movie?
I couldn't be able to do it because wouldn't be able to contain myself. Right.
I'd cry myself.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. I think like that'd be Mad so Max. Cool.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah,
that
Mad Max cool. would be amazing.
Yeah, that man, that was a wild movie. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That Fury Road, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you like that better than the three previous ones?
I know I've seen them. Like I don't know. I probably should go back and rewatch them.
But visually, they blew them out of the water.
But I loved Fury Road. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. Like it was such a huge movie. You know, just that landscape of it all. Like, you know, that whole world they created and stuff.
Right.
Like
it was all filmed in Australia.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It made it seem like you were in this whole universe.
Sure. Do you guys watch Conan at all?
The new Conan?
Yeah. No, Conan O'Brien.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I will occasionally.
Yeah. We went from Mad Max and you said Conan, sure. So I'm thinking Barbarian. Yeah. Those old, like, muscle-bound, badass movies. Right. You know?
Well, Conan O'Brien did, like, a spoof whenever that came out and stuff. He did, like, this opening, and he's done a couple of them that just made me laugh so hard, but they did, like, this opening where, like, they had that whole scene when they're going through the desert and, like, that that guy's on those drums on the back of that truck and stuff, and, like, Conan was the guy, like, strapped to the front of the truck and all that, like, on the chains and playing the guitar and stuff. And, like,
that's hilarious.
It was, like, it was really cool, and, like, and then, like, they get lost. Like, Andy was, like, driving the truck with the mask and all that on his face, and he's like, you know, then they, like, pull out their phone or whatever, trying to look at navigation and stuff. it was pretty good. So yeah, it was a good. It was funny seeing Conan, you know, shredding on that guitar like that with the flames shooting out there.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty funny. If you really think about it, too, that film is like one of the most metal films created in a while. Because it's got that flaming guitar when he came in. Right. And I was like, dude, that's so amazing.
Yeah,
you're gonna incorporate that in our set.
Yeah, right. I'm surprised. Yeah,
flaming guitars.
I'll let you burn your guitar.
Right. Yeah. They that was definitely pretty metal.
Yeah.
Any other recent movies you guys? What do you guys do? Do you guys do that kind of stuff as a band? Like, go to the movies or do any of that kind of stuff?
I'm the one that usually watches films if I'm not doing music.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen too many.
Right.
But you know, they got all their other hobbies that they do. But
sure.
If we're talking about latest movie that I've seen, What We Do in the Shadows was one recent one that I've seen, and then It Follows.
Yeah, I keep hearing about It Follows. I haven't actually watched it, but I hear it's really good.
And then the one actually probably one of my favorites of the last like 5 years is Birdman. Finally saw that film. Yeah. Did you see that?
I haven't watched. I remember hearing about it.
It has this thing where it's like, it seems like it's all in one take,
right.
But I think there's only like 15 different cuts in the entire film. Yeah, so it's just that alone is amazing. Because you have to be, because you're, the film, the camera's moving around through all, there's supposed to be Broadway play based off of, basically, and the camera's moving all the time, so the actors always have to hit their marks and their spots.
Sure.
Just, I thought that was phenomenal, so.
Yeah, a lot of timing.
I haven't seen it.
I saw The Revenant. That was probably one of my most recent movies. It was just pure badass.
Tom Hardy and Leo.
Leo, right.
Yeah, I have a copy, and I started trying to watch it, and like I just, I don't know. Like I said, for me, it's a lot of like right place, right time kind of thing, and like I just, like it was visually like looked a lot of, you know, really cool, like that whole like, you know, opening scene, like there's, you know,
a lot of ass kicking
going on in there, and like it was just, but so it seems like something I definitely could get into, but at the time, like I was just not in the mood for it, right?
I was like,
so I only really watched it for like maybe, you know, 10, 15 minutes. I was like, I don't know, it's kind of long.
So it's like one of those movies you almost have to see in the movie theater too, because it's so like visually.
I saw it in theaters. It was actually the same director did Birdman and The Revenant.
So I switched it out and I put in Deadpool, so I watched that.
I've seen that. That was pretty good.
Yeah. but yeah, so like, I mean, do you guys get to do that kind of stuff, like hanging out, like as a band, or do you guys, or is it, or is the band, like you know, when you guys go practice and stuff, that's...
We're like best friends. Yeah. Like, the band is like part of the friendship, I guess. But yeah, I mean, we always go out and hang out. And, just do whatever. I mean, we'll go four wheeling or out the door.
Or just outside and throw washers
and break stuff.
Yeah, that's not good. Just basement, actually. Last night, Tony filled in for Brandon's other band, Our Transfiction. So four of us went out, or they played, and then Aaron and I showed up and hung out and had a couple drinks. So.
So, I mean, that helps because we, like I said, we've been friends. We've known each other since kindergarten, but at least Billy, Preston, and I. And so that friendship has just blossomed.
As years pass.
I mean, like we just had a random barbecue a couple weeks ago, and we were just all hanging out, and some of us left.
Not to point any fingers.
Some of us left.
Billy.
Hey, I also went to Vegas.
You did.
What'd you say?
You did well.
I did well.
But no, we. The band is one thing, but
very,
we also it's a part of a bigger friendship.
For sure.
One of these times, we're all going to go skydiving.
Yes, I would love to go skydiving.
I'm afraid of heights, but if these guys do it, I'll do it.
I'm in.
I want to bungee jumping off a bridge.
I totally want to do it. I want to do it. I hate heights.
Yeah, I think that's key. I think that's a very important thing to, especially longevity of a band. You know, is to just constantly. And hanging out with your best friends and being able to make music and stuff.
And I think that, and that not only shows with your music, but it also shows in your live performances. If you have that chemistry, everything else just blossoms and it's easier. That's how teams and sports win championships. It's all about chemistry. It's not, you can't just throw, you know, you look at the LA Dodgers. They threw all that money on all these big name players. They went nowhere because the chemistry wasn't there. And same with music. If a band, you know, that I've listened to, they lose a member, they have some random guy come in, well, it's not the same. You don't feel it as much, and the music doesn't reflect
the audience doesn't energize off that. It's like a constant cycle. If you feed off them, they feed off you energy-wise, and it's amazing.
A lot of times, like especially with music, things will come out sounding contrived and like forced and just not, it just doesn't flow.
Right.
I think the quality diminishes. So
And it definitely helps that we all like the same music.
Not
only the same genre, but the same bands. It's crazy because
keeps creative stuff.
But also at the same time, we do listen to other stuff outside of metal. That also helps us
bring in different
elements of of music.
That I had a conversation the other day, and I was like about how, like, for me, like, I don't know, I've always kind of fancied wanting to be write some songs or do something with it, and like get more creative in that sense, and like but like for me, whenever I go to sit down and put the pen to paper, it's just everybody else's lyrics coming out. Like, it just, that's all that's...
And that's what happens.
That's
at
all
first,
here. No. Yeah. For me, it's like, that's all that's in my brain is everybody else's lyrics for the last, 30 years, or whatever.
Though, like with music, when you're writing and stuff like that, that's kind of what music is, though. It's
sure.
Like pulling all of your influences and everything. Like, there are so many parts in our songs, like, yep, that was totally
that was
ripped
from here.
That.
Was from
not like intentionally, just like you can trace
yeah,
where
it's
the
got,
roots
it's got, yeah, it's got elements of that
came from.
Same
so
part,
same concept. Like, you have it all up there, but you make it your own because you kind of morph
within. There's like a book. There's a book that I can't remember what it's called. It's like How to Steal Songs.
How to Steal Songs?
But it says that...
You really emphasize that
point. No. I'm just trying to think of the title. I can't remember what it's called, but it's a little one of those little books, and it says how to... It's called, like, How to Steal Songs. It's one of those things that says, like, yeah, steal songs, but it doesn't really say that. Like, basically,
just to clarify,
what it's...
we aren't in the nature of
No. But basically, all it says is that creative influence, like, what you're doing... What you're putting out is not coming from thin air. It's coming from what you heard.
Right.
So essentially, like, you may write a riff that sounds like Lamb of God because it is coming from Lamb of God, that sort of thing. You're stealing it, but you're not really stealing it.
And,
like, just that's how it works.
Yeah, and, like, I've always fancied comedy and, like, doing stand-up.
Right.
So you're trying to write that, you just, like, oh, I'm just going to sound like Bill Burr if I try this. But you create your own after a while of doing it more and more, too.
Sure.
So you just keep going at it until you reach your own creativity and reach your own unique sound.
Because no one else in the world is exactly like you are, you know, as far as, like, creative-wise. So no one else will pull the same way you pull from influences.
Yeah, especially,
right,
too,
exactly.
When like, a group of you get, like, us, like, a
band
gets
together,
then you have everybody's influences and everything.
Right.
And it creates something...
It's like a tie-dye shirt.
Hopefully
something. tie-dye shirt.
What if
you could have said, like, a... Like a pot, and you were like making food. Like, I don't know, something just.
Well, I said tie-dye
shirt.
No one says that.
I know we were talking about way back Point Fest, but man, you're really going old school.
I am, 70s. I might wear one for non-point. Tie-dye shirt.
That's the band activity for later.
Just
tie-dye.
Yeah, when you leave, we're all doing arts and crafts. We're gonna create tie-dye shirts and ribbons.
Just
lanyards, Hollow Point lanyards.
Reminded me of a story. So I was at Pops a little bit ago for a show, and I'm just wearing a plain white t-shirt, and just that's what I do. and I'm hanging out at the show, and this guy walks up to me and goes, "Hey, I can tie-dye that for you if you want." And I'm like, "I'm good, man. Thanks." So,
he's like a black market tie-dye guy.
Yeah,
hey, man,
just,
I can tie-dye your shit, bro.
He's got like the jacket where he does that.
Yeah, look at all these dyes, bro.
But it just made me, like, you know, like, you know, in his mind, he's probably like sitting over there, like, why is this guy just wearing a white shirt when he could be having a tie-dye? You know, he's like, I need to go talk to this guy and let him know that I can tie-dye.
Yeah, I can do it.
You know, it's like,
where were you at? Like, what were you there for?
It was a rock show. Like, it was, I don't remember which one it was. But anyway, just, I go to a lot of shows, so they all, those times start running together. But, it was just funny to me. Like, I'm just like, that was just, I appreciate that guy for making my night, though. That was
right.
It's unique, man.
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
Right. Yeah. So,
wearing a white shirt. Just
right.
That's a cool thing, though. Going to shirt shows and playing shows, you meet so many different and unique people, and a lot of them. You know, there's a lot of cool people that we've met through music. So.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah. Just the show alone. Like I said, the people I've been able to meet doing this show and going, you know, to live shows and stuff. Like, I've met so many cool people, and like, if people I met like a year ago and stuff are like some of my best friends now, and I'm like, that's just such an awesome feeling and stuff. And people, and like, of course, like, I go to, like I said, a lot of shows, and like, I people are always like, you know, I tell people to come with me and stuff, they don't, and I go out there, I go by myself, and I start talking to people, and they're all like, "How do you do that?" And I'm like, "Well,
it's fun.
Yeah, it's easy because you're already there with people that are like the same music and stuff, and it's easy to start."
Did you go to Riverfront Times Music Showcase?
No, I didn't make it over there. I think I figured what was going on, but yeah, I mean, there was like just all my friends there. So
I went by myself, and I got to meet all these bands, and I don't ever get to go to local shows outside of metal. So it was really cool to see. I mean, of course, there were a few. There were the Gorge, which I never listened to, and I saw them. I was like, dude, that band is badass. And then Brother Lee, I know you were a big fan of them. Yeah, and I saw them, and I was like, damn.
Yeah, those are good buddies of mine.
Those guys are so rad. So I agree. Going to shows even by yourself is.
Yeah, like I said, I start talking to people all the time and like just meeting all kinds of new people at shows. And then, of course, they're fans too, so you see them at the next one and stuff like that and so on. And so, yeah. I don't know, man. It's music's fun. I really enjoy it. I enjoy doing this show and, like I said, meeting guys like yourselves and discovering new music all the time in my own town here.
Yeah. We love the fact that the people that like aren't musicians but that like are diehard music fans. I feel like we need more of you.
That's true.
It's cool because before we started playing instruments, that's the way we were. We loved everything about music, and it's a lifestyle. So
exactly. Yeah.
Definitely.
There's definitely a lot of people out there like that, which is nice. Which keeping it alive. I mean, ever since the great Napster crash, we've still been thriving a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, more like surviving.
Well, speaking of shows, there's a couple more opportunities to come see these guys. Again, Nonpoint, July 12th, Tuesday night. Come on out to that. And then you've got July 30th. At Foo Bar with Post Primal and Outcome of Betrayal, right?
Yep, for Post Primal CD releases.
Yeah. And you know, Foo Bar, it gets pretty rowdy in there. A little dive bar, it's a it's a good spot for a metal show.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Played there many a times.
Good,
good spot for metal and the homeless.
And then September 10th, Outcome of Betrayal CD release party.
Yes.
Where would you say that one was?
That was at the Firebird.
Firebird, I really like Firebird. It's a good club, man.
It's great.
Yeah.
I think that's one of our favorite venues around. So
For sure.
It's cool.
We were talking about, actually last night, about when we release our EP, where we play at, and Firebird is definitely on our top of our list because that place is super cool. But, so those shows are upcoming. Then we're also, like we said off mic, we're playing more shows out of town. We played Kansas City 4 times this year. We got a show lined up in Nashville, and hopefully soon we have one for Memphis and another show in KC at the end of the year. So we're looking to play around the Midwest until we can keep growing with it.
I think that's key. I think trading shows and stuff, I think that's a good way to do that, a lot of that, to build those relationships with various bands around the Midwest or whatever, and kind of just, you guys just show swap
like
and
a community and a network for everybody, and everybody generally that we've worked with always wants to help, and vice versa, it's everybody always wants to help everybody move forward and get somewhere, and so it's pretty cool.
So is that about the extent of the road work so far yet? This Kansas City?
Yeah, but it's all about the vehicle now is what we're... And then, trying to just play on the weekends, because we all have, full-time jobs.
Right.
But we're hopeful that if we keep playing out-of-town shows close, all of a sudden we release our new music and it keeps growing and growing, that we could eventually play around not just the U.S., but the world.
Definitely.
The road.
Yeah, I think... Is that a little Tenacious D?
Yeah, kind
of. I love that band.
I work at an Oyster Bar part-time, and I was just cracking up last night because they have I don't know if they use Spotify or whatever it is, but they have a playlist and stuff generated, and usually it's pretty much stuff like that, fits well with it, Bob Marley and stuff but somehow Fuck Her Gently from Tenacious D comes on there. So I'm just sitting there at the door just singing Tenacious D and laughing and stuff. And
God, that is awesome. I know every time I get a little tipsy, I always break out BL's a Boss and I sing the entire song, and I know they're probably sick of it, but I love it.
Sure.
I love that.
It's hilarious.
It's a great song. It's the greatest song in the world, as they would proclaim it.
Yeah.
It's
the greatest of us.
And and then they got Dave Grohl as the devil,
And the drummer.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he That's that was fun to see him. I'm the devil now. Do what I want.
Don't get me started.
All right, guys. Well, this has been awesome, man. Yeah, I really enjoyed getting to hang with you guys.
Likewise.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
So we got, like I said, the EP's online. I can throw a track or two on if you guys want to do that.
Absolutely.
Give people a little taste of what they can expect on July 12th.
Yeah.
So what?
We're the other point band.
Yeah.
He told me to say this thing. I don't even have it memorized yet, but since they're both names have point in the name, it's right. Like I don't mean to make it a point to point out the fact that there's two bands with the name point in it. And it's just like it's like an entire paragraph of saying the word point about seven or eight times. Right? So
I hope you got my point.
Right.
Yeah. I really hope you do that because that would be great.
It is. I think there's what that too. Like you know. Repetitive. You say it enough times, people will, like, remember it.
Maybe
there's something to that. Maybe if you.
Yeah, I try to say that. I try to say our band name at least two or three times during the set to remember them. And then plus we have scrims and we have ego boxes with our names on it. So there's like five or six different. Yeah. And our merch table has it. So if you don't know our band name by the end of the night,
you can't read.
You're hammered. You're blackout.
I said you can't read. He says you're hammered.
Or you're a drunken illiterate. Right. How about that?
Well, you guys want to have a request throw on there, or what would you guys like to play?
I already know what you're gonna say.
No, I don't want to play Abandoned.
Oh,
Abandoned.
Abandoned.
I would say it's either Semper or
Abandoned.
Semper Solace.
Semper.
Semper Victim.
Yeah,
that's cool. The opening track.
Yeah. All right. Well, stick around for those. And again, grab your tickets. Hit up your favorite band member and get yourself a concert ticket to see them with Nonpoint.
Yeah.
Come out.
Firebird.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Personal life was gone through. Breathe away.